folks. Let's turn to page 203. Saying, someday.
I can't hear you.
Someday my trials will all be over. Looking forward to that day.
I can't hear you.
Can't hear me?
No, you're too far away from the microphone.
All right. My trials here on earth will cease someday, and I will have an ending some happy day from sin set free. Forever. God bless you. Good to see each and every one of you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer at this time. If you want to remain standing, if you have a request of prayer tonight, let it be known to the Lord just by the lifting of your hand. God knows and sees every need tonight. And let's do remember so many who are sick and afflicted. Some people are still battling. So let's pray that God would just strengthen, touch, and anoint and heal them and have his way in this service tonight. Let's just all pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, God, first of all, for your blessings, your grace, Lord, and your mercy. Thank you for this opportunity and the desire that you've given us to come together tonight. Lord, to meet in one mind and one accord. God, to worship and glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us daily. We ask you now, Lord, that you would reach out, Lord, with your healing hand. Minister, Lord, to those who stand in need of prayer tonight. Lord, many are suffering. Many are sick at home, and I pray, God, you would strengthen and touch each and every need in every situation. Have your hand upon this service tonight. Lord, lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you'd have us to go. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would just reach out to those tonight who are lost. God, I pray, Lord, that you would create an urgency in their spirit, God, that they might find an altar of repentance before it's everlasting too late. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. We might do one more congregational number tonight while we're a little low on special singers. Let's do 92. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Thank you.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. I feel a little prayer will turn it. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems clear without a ray of cheer. Then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The midst of sin may rise and hide the starry skies. Just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. I feel a little prayer will turn it. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. Jesus is a friend. He watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn it. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn it. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. If you believe that, give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. Amen. Sometimes my little talk turns into a long talk with the Lord, and I'm so thankful that he's patient and willing to listen to all of our prayer needs and all of our situation, and he even knows before we ask. Again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight to look around, see if we can get some special singers. Sister Linda, do you feel like singing tonight? All right. Susan's still a little hoarse. Are you a little hoarse? Okay. It's good to have Brother Walter with us. Reckon you'll get us a number tonight, brother? Still a little hoarse, too. Okay. Sister Linda, come on then, and we'll see if Sister Penny will sing one for us.
I think it's on now.
My bad. Y'all worship with me. I'm going to try to sing us an old song, but I say that every time, don't I? I am so sorry. But with this old song I'm going to sing, then it's, I hope to see each and every one of you in heaven one day. I really do. And I was telling somebody the other day that the older I get, the more ready I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home, and I would love to see each and every one of you. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Y'all worship the Lord.
If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse else of love. I simply asked for a favor of him beyond mortal king. I'm sure he'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all these troubles and heartaches have vanished away. Then I'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see. But time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come that morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew. While I stroll over heaven with you, oh, I want to stroll. These troubles and heartaches have all vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come that morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew. While I stroll over heaven with you, oh, I want to stroll. Heartaches have all vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
Beautiful, beautiful song. Great meaning, too. Okay. Does anybody got a song tonight? Sister Brenda, come sing for us. Okie dokie. Just happen to have one, huh?
It is good. Ooh, it is good to be in the house of God. When you miss church for 2 or 3 weeks, which I was here last Sunday, but still, we didn't have church Sunday night, so it's good. Not only do we need to feed ourselves daily, but I really loved coming to the house of God and get the word. With Brother Eddie or whoever be preaching, so.
Of choices that right. But even though I make mistakes, I'm perfect in His sight. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. When I have temptation stare me in the face, should have turned my head and looked away. I went stumbling down that road a time or two, but each time I came limping back, You let me lean on You.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, Penny reminded, we didn't take up an offering, do we? I don't know if you're aware, but on Wednesday night, the offering goes to the Good Samaritan Fund to help folks and help situations, so we do need to receive that tonight, I guess. So why don't we, Sister Brenda, will you want to receive that offering? Bless. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just look to You to love You and to thank You, God, for the opportunity to gather together tonight. Thank You for those who are here. Father, we pray now, Lord, that You would bless this offering, God, for the purpose that it's used for. Pray, God, that it would bless those in need. Pray, God, that You just multiply it, God, for the furtherance of Your work, for the furtherance of Your gospel. And we'll be careful to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not a rich man with diamonds to bring. I'm not one for saying I can do anything. I'm nothing but no one, just one more grain of sand. Except I've been touched by the Master's strong hand. Oh, I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this wearisome land. Footsteps would falter, too wide the gulf to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Now if you searched for the answer but can't comprehend, if that everyday burden seems to fall without end, when in life's room full of empty helplessly stand, just wait for the touch of the Master's strong hand.
I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand leading me on through this wearisome land. Footsteps would falter too wide the gulf to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Are you thankful for the seems like hoarseness is kind of going around tonight, and sorry about butchering that one up a little bit, but it was singing to the Lord anyway. Maybe he'll excuse a little hoarseness and raspiness, and one of these days I'm going to change this old body, trade it in on a brand new one. Man, it won't have any ailments, no aches and pains. Amen. One that's going to live ever and ever, a glorified body in a place that Jesus Christ himself has gone away to prepare it. And it's going to take me an eternity just to love him and thank him, amen, for all that he has done. Again, it's good to see you here tonight. We miss so very many people that are out, and we pray that God would just continue to bless them and anoint them. It's good to see some folks we hadn't seen in a while as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that's been on my heart this week, and it is the 23rd Psalm. We may go through all of it, we may not. It's just depending on the Spirit of the Lord tonight, but David's writing here is it's so profound, and yet it's so identifiable. It seemed like I can identify with David's spirit and his dependency on the Lord, and this is just a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture that he writes in very poetic form and all, but there's some deep meaning there as well that we all can trust in the Lord at all times, and he is our shepherd. So we're going to read verse 1 and 2 first in the 23rd Psalm. David writes, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just want to love you, and we want to thank you, God, for your goodness. For those who have gathered here tonight, God, with a hunger in their souls, Father, I pray, God, that you would just open up that window of heaven, the blessings poured out upon us tonight. God, help us to be receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, help us to be in one mind and one accord. God, we need you to lead us and guide us. We need you, God, to teach us your ways, your statutes, your precepts. Give us a hungry heart, God, to desire your commandments and your word, for to follow after you, God, as the sheep would follow after the shepherd. God, not questioning direction, not questioning the need for anything except our total and absolute dependency on you, dear Lord. For Lord, you'll never leave us, and you'll never forsake us, and you'll never let us down. And we give you that praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I don't intend to keep us very long tonight. I know that we're small in number tonight, but I do want to pass on what I feel that the Lord has laid upon my heart. If I had a message title tonight, it would be the title of a song. I guess it's the title of a song that we used to hear years and years ago, and it simply says, "Where he leads me, I will follow." Now, as a small boy growing up in a Pentecostal church in Rockmart, Georgia, I was made to be a participant or a viewer in a lot of services and a lot of baptismal services. We did not, in fact, have a baptismal pool in the little church at Rockmart, Georgia. In fact, we had a river or a little creek that ran through the park there called Uharley Creek. And many times on the end of a revival or sometimes even after a Sunday night service, my granddaddy would, if somebody came to him and wanted to be baptized, he wouldn't put it off till next week or till a sunshiny day. He said, "Let's just go down to the creek tonight and we'll be baptized." And many a Sunday after service, we would go down to the little park there. And Dad would always take his straight guitar, and there would be probably at the most maybe a dozen saints that would gather there on the banks of the little Uharley Creek. And my granddaddy would always take a cane or a stick, and he would walk out, and he would test the depthness of the water, and the participants who were going to be baptized, they would follow him.
And my dad would always start strumming on the guitar, "Where he leads me, I will follow." And as a little boy, I thought that was the song that you had to sing when you went to a baptism. And I thought the song was about those people that were following the pastor as he went out and found a place to baptize them. And for many years, I thought that as a kid. And of course, you know, growing up later on, I found out that song was not written for a baptismal service. It was written, in fact, according kind of to the 23rd Psalm, "Where Jesus leads me, I will follow." Now, how many knows we have to learn to follow Jesus? Because sometimes he leads us where we don't know that he's going. He doesn't, or we don't understand where he's taking us. And many times we will question him. Even in our maturity as Christians, we want to depend on Christ and we want him to open the door. But sometimes when he opens a door, we don't realize that that's the door that he wants us to go through. And sometimes we're a little bit impatient or hesitant about answering that. But David, being familiar with the lifestyle of a shepherd. In fact, the Bible goes into great detail that he was a shepherd boy and he was a son of a shepherd, and probably his older brothers at times were shepherds as well. And the Bible relates that at a very early age, David was put in responsibility of the sheep in his dad's fold out there in his pasture. And as his brothers went off to war, and you know the story, and then how he was able to leave and take some victuals or some food to his brothers. But I would imagine on many occasions there that David was out in the field just with the sheep and probably didn't have any clue or any idea where the Lord was going to lead him. Probably the furthest thing from his mind was that one day he would be sitting on a throne in a palace somewhere governing over a great people as the children of Israel. I doubt very seriously if he ever thought that. If he did, it probably was just a fleeting moment. Probably didn't think it would ever become a reality. I myself have looked back and when I didn't know what the Lord was doing and blindly followed him, only to find out later that the Lord knew exactly where he was leading me and knew exactly what he wanted for me to be or to do at that particular time. And then we thank him for it. But when he's first leading us, it takes faith to be able to follow the Lord. So I don't know at which point in David's life that he took the pen and he began to write this glorious poem or phrase or scripture that we refer to many times. And often we hear it read or we read it at the passing of a loved one as we stand humbly by the graveside and we are saying our last goodbyes to that loved one. And this is read and it gives comfort to those loved ones. But, you know, it's good to live by, too. It's a good thing to refer to when we say goodbye to this world. But yet, I think if we'll follow this and understand it in its entirety, it's good to apply to our life in an everyday basis. So, basically, David talks about, whether he refers to them precisely or not, he's talking about three avenues, basically, that a good shepherd will take care of his sheep or his flock or his fold. And he relates to that in a wonderful way. And basically, it's three things. He will feed me, he will guide me, and he will shield me. Now, let's take the first one, first of all, is feed me. You know, the sheep are totally and absolutely dependent on the shepherd to lead them to fertile pastures, especially in the day and time that David was rearing the sheep or raising the sheep or tending to them, because they were grazed and they didn't have just a place where they would just have hay come in and had a partition place off. They would have to kind of go around to different places. And David, as a good shepherd, would know where the fertile fields were and where the grass was and where the good green pastures were, and he would lead them there. So he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he says something very, very important. "I shall not want." And that is something that we need to relate to. You know, that doesn't mean that we're not going to want things. That means that we're not going to be in want. There's probably not a day in our life that we're not wanting something from God. I find myself going to him on a daily basis, needing guidance, needing help, sometimes just needing a good friend. amen, and just needing someone that will listen to me. And how many is thankful that we have a friend in Jesus, amen, that we can talk to anytime, and he understands, he knows what we're going through. You know, there's nothing that we go through. There's not a battle. There's not a problem. There's not a trial that the Lord is not aware of that we go through, and he's able to comfort us. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and being that good shepherd, he said, I'm never going to be in want. And then I thought he used a word there that sometimes we may not really, in flesh, kind of like. And that's the word, he maketh me. You know, a good shepherd would have to force sheep to do certain things. Can always just call and whistle and tell them to come. Sheep, they don't act that way. Sheep need to be guided. Sheep need to be told what to do. Sheep need to be instructed. How many is thankful that we have a Lord who will instruct us, amen, and let us know if we're heading down the wrong path, you know, and many, many times the sheep would do that if the shepherd was not there to correct them and to bring them back in the fold. But he says he makes them to lay down, to lie down in green pastures. And I thought about being able to lie down in the blessings that the Lord has provided for us. There's times to travel spiritually, and then there's times to lie down in the blessings that God has given us. I know that the fleshly eye is always desirous, as the saying is, of greener pastures. You've heard that saying probably most of your life, that people are always looking toward greener pastures, meaning that they're not truly or really satisfied with where they are right now. They're wanting something more. You get a new automobile, and first thing you know, you see somebody else driving a newer automobile, and that fleshly desire of that eye says, you know what, I could stand me one of those. I'd like to have one of those, or a nicer home, or this, that, and the other. And many, many times, that's the desire of the flesh. But if we have a relationship with the Good Shepherd, being Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he will sometimes make us lie down in green pastures. He will make us be satisfied or content with where we are in our particular walk with the Lord. And sometimes that means sitting still. Stand still and see the righteousness of the Lord. And also it means sometimes as many as are led by the Spirit, those are the ones that's called the children of God or the sons of God. So to have a son relationship with the Lord, we need to be attentive. We need to be obedient, amen, and we need to be able to be instructed as when to get up and move and when to be still. We even know that from the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke that led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. There was a time to camp, and there was a time to move. How many understands and agrees with that? Sometimes there's a time to stand still and wait on the Lord, but when he says move, then we need to move. So David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And when we're in those green pastures, we need to take advantage of those green pastures. In other words, take advantage of the nourishment that we can get from that time of rest or relaxation or whatever it is that the Lord has placed us in. Now, we're not talking necessarily now about the physical green pastures. We're talking about those spiritual green pastures that the Lord allows us to be in. And probably each and every one of us can relate to those times when we've just been able to just sit still and receive from God. Sometimes he has to make us be still. Sometimes he has to get our attention. Sometimes we're just too busy. Sometimes we're too preoccupied. Sometimes our eyes are looking on things out there, and the Lord said, wait a minute, why don't you think about where I got you now and what I've already given you and how many blessings I've already bestowed upon you? And that's a time of rest and relaxation and refreshing in the Spirit of God. So that is a type of spiritual making us lie down in green pastures. Not only does he do that, but he leadeth us beside the still waters. Now, David has just talked about two things that sheep must have in order to survive. They got to have food, and they got to have water. And he just had said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So if, in fact, that sheep is totally and absolutely dependent on the shepherd, then he's not going to have to worry about food, and he's not going to have to worry about water, the two basic essentials for life and sustaining life itself. And if we could get a church, if we could get a group of people that would be that dependent
on our good shepherd to know that he is going to feed us and he's going to give us water and he's going to take care of our essential needs, our basic needs, amen, then we could be a lot more faithful to the Lord. Because if he will be faithful in the small things, amen, that causes us to sustain life, he'll also be faithful in the other things that heal our body, that make a way, that lead us and guide us and direct us in every facet and every avenue of our life. Amen. Can you relate to that? Have you had to depend on the Lord before? Even when you didn't know which way to go, which direction, it's all right, amen, to be obedient unto the shepherd. So he leadeth me beside the still waters and lets me know that, and I tell you another thing about the shepherd, he always knew where the good waters were. The sheep running off and all directions probably wouldn't be able to find the good water, the pools of water, but an experienced shepherd is going to know not only where the green pastures are, where the fertile ground is, but he's also going to know where the water is, amen? And when you're thirsty, spiritually thirsty, there is nobody that can satisfy your soul like Jesus, amen? Just talking to him, listening to him, reading his word, so the Lord knows how to lead us and guide us, even in the still waters. And then we'll go into verse 3. He said, he restoreth my soul. Thank God that he does that. How many is thankful for revival? How many is thankful for refreshing? That God is a God of restoration. Even though he fills us with his spirit, sometimes we become very tired. Sometimes we become physically tired, and let's face it, sometimes we're very spiritually tired, and we need the restoration of the Spirit of God. Nothing better than someone who will give you an encouraging word. Amen. We all like to be the recipient of somebody maybe congratulating you or just giving you an encouraging word. Well, that pales in comparison to what Jesus, our good shepherd, can give us encouragement. So many times we can think everything in the world that's going wrong, that could go wrong, is happening to me. And then we find a time when the Lord just begins to refresh us and begins to let us know, I've brought you this far, and I've not brought you this far to leave you. I'm not going to leave you now. I'm never going to forsake you, but I am, in fact, going to go with you all the way to the end. And he reassures us and lets us know that he does restore our soul. So he restoreth my soul and leads us, or leads me, David said, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We've talked about the feeding part. We've talked about how that the Lord or how the shepherd would sustain the sheep and always have make sure that they had plenty to eat and plenty to drink. And he's also guiding them and restoring them. But now he is going to also be their shield with a rod and the staff. He's going to comfort them. He's going to keep all of the predators away. He's going to make sure before he goes to sleep at night, all the sheep are accounted for and they're in a safe place before he ever lays down and goes to sleep. So aren't you glad to know that even in the midnight hour when things are going topsy-turvy, that we have the good shepherd that's wide awake and looking out for us, amen, and making sure that we are safely in the spiritual fold. How many is thankful for that? Many times the Spirit of the Lord has sort of had to catch me and guide me back into the spiritual fold. Not because I'm trying to backslide or run out and do things, but because I'm following the desires of the flesh rather than being led by the Spirit of God. It takes something to be led by the Spirit of God, and it takes something to make that statement, where he leads me, I will follow. Not where I go, I want him to follow me. Many times people get the wrong concept of a relationship with Jesus Christ. They think he is supposed to fit into their lifestyle, and he's supposed to follow them around. That's not what the Word of God tells us or instructs us to do. We are supposed to follow him almost blindly as the sheep would follow the good shepherd, not questioning, where are you taking me? Why are you taking me with this? Or why is this happening to me in this particular time of my life? Hadn't I always served you? Hadn't I always followed you? You know how we are sometimes when the Lord directs us in places that we're not comfortable in going. But he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then he goes ahead and says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. He uses several analogies here, some that actually apply to the sheep, some that he was talking in a spiritual context, basically as a relationship that we have with the Lord. But, you know, there's a lot of written in the Bible about the anointing of oil. And you know that the shepherd always had oil, and he was always constantly using that oil to anoint the head and the nose and all of the sheep, because many, many times in the search for the food, they would be in briars and thickets and things like that, and that oil was a healing process that helped them. And, you know, there was other uses too. Many, many times the sheep would get their head hung in things, and, you know, the oil would make it a little slippery so that they could pull the sheep out of those tight places. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but the Lord has gotten me out of some very tight places before. None of his fault whatsoever. It was mine. You know, sticking my head or in somewhere that it shouldn't have been, and then the Lord, I need you to help me out in this situation. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. But if not, praise God for that. But in times, the Lord has had to get me out of sticky situations. And thank God, he's a loving God and a God of second chances. Can you say amen to that? And then he says, my cup runneth over. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy. And there's been a lot of talk about goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David is now talking about the relationship between shepherd and sheep, and he's also applying that to his walk with the Lord, and says that whatever happens in my lifetime, whatever my future holds, this is one thing that I have to do. I have to remain in the house of the Lord forever. I have to remain in the goodness and the good grace of Almighty God. Wherever he leads me, whether he takes me off in a foreign land, whether he puts me here. And David didn't know what the Lord had in store for him, but he said, whatever he does, then I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have to have that determination in following Christ, where he leads us. And the Lord will lead us in places that are unfamiliar to us. There'll be some places that we have no idea where he's taking us, but we must humbly and faithfully follow him. And I know it's just the natural thing to want to question God sometimes, but really we don't need to question God, because he's not making any mistakes, and he's never made a mistake, and he never will make a mistake in our life. So he'll always lead us and guide us. So can we make that commitment tonight? Hopefully we're already living that lifestyle. Wherever he leads me, I will follow. But if not, make a conscious effort to say, Lord, you know best what's for me. Help me to follow you, not my desire. You know, pray the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. And if we do the will of the Father, amen, we'll be all right. God bless you. We love you tonight. I promised I wouldn't keep you very long, and I'm going to hold to that promise tonight. But before we dismiss, we want to have special prayer for a lot of folks that are sick. It just seems like some folks get better and other folks get down in the family. So we're just going to pray that God just reach out and touch and minister to those families and to those individuals that need in prayer. And there's so many deaths. My goodness, I don't know how many we've just heard about this week. And our hope and prayer that everyone who leaves this world has made it right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there certainly ought to be a time of revival here with everything that's going on. If folks are not right with the Lord, don't put it off till tomorrow. Get it done tonight. Amen. Make sure, because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. May God bless you. If you'd stand tonight, if anyone is in need of prayer tonight before you leave, please come to the altar and we'll pray with you tonight. Is there one tonight? Well, let's do then. Remember, again, if you have a special need tonight or a special request, just lift your hand. God knows and sees. And by faith, lift that hand if you believe God's going to answer it. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, God, for the opportunity to come together tonight. Lord, we may be few in number, but you're such a mighty God, Lord. And you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be in their midst. And Father, we feel your spirit tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the writer, God, that encouraged us that we do need to follow after you in all of our ways. Lord, we ask you to direct our paths. We ask you now, Lord, to be with those who are suffering tonight, who are sick. Many are afflicted. Many are viewing tonight. God, are not able to make church. Pray, God, that you would strengthen them, touch them, and anoint them. God, just wrap your loving arm around them. God, as we depart tonight, I pray that you would keep us safe from all harm and danger. Lead us and guide us and direct us and help us always follow after your will. And we ask humbly tonight these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.